Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Body and Spirit Radio Show. Tonight it is Wednesday, February the 2nd. We are in Black History Month. Yes, Black History. Well, you know, it's Black History Month, 365 days of the year for us, but we are actually celebrating the month of Black February as the month of Black History, as we know. And so tonight we will have our The Blackness Show. Namaste, Featherlight. How are you?
Namaste. I'm fantabulous. How are you, Black Rose?
I'm doing very well. Very well. Thank you. Hello, Scotty and Brother Otis. How you doing? And all of our listeners tonight. How you doing, Scotty? All is well, I hope. I'm sure it is. We enjoy listening to the show.
I'm recovering. Been feeling under the weather like much of the country I'm reading about, but I'm still here and I'm still working.
Oh, please don't tell me you had that little nasty flu bug.
Yes, I did.
Ooh, wow.
Well, Scotty, I know how you feel. You know, I had it for about a month in December, just messed up my whole vacation time. So I know how you feel. Hang in there, because that's some serious, serious mess that's going around. We had two more deaths here in Houston, in the Houston area, as a result of the flu. So that's some nasty mess going around. These people spray all kinds of stuff around here on us and keep us sick. So we have to really, really be careful and take care of our bodies. And I'm not eating as right as I should, because I have, over the past 2 years, I've been drinking Sprites, and for years I cut out all kinds of sodas. And I noticed when I started back drinking Sprites, because I just have these cravings for Sprites and ginger ales. I think it's just upset stomach occasionally. And but I noticed after I started drinking Sprites, then I began to have more illnesses, and that acid from those drinks, some researchers say that it breaks down your immune system. So,
mm-hmm. I can see that.
for you. So take care, Scotty. Get you some of that pho, that Asian soup, and some oregano oil.
And golden milk with the turmeric and coconut milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really good for colds and flu.
And you step on back to health. Yeah, but I tell you, I remember when I was sick, a friend of mine called and was telling me that he saw on the news that even like, say for instance, like our normal remedies that we would take for the colds and flus is just ineffective. And I mean, it really seems like it was, because I was on my soup and I mean, just with juice and water, fruits, all of that, and just still was out of it, just still sick, couldn't shake that crap. But the weather kept changing so much too. Like now it's freezing here. This is ridiculous. It's cold, it's wet, it's rainy, it's just like people keep sick. I mean, you feel like you're getting better, and then next thing you know, it's raining and cold, and you're out in it and you have a relapse. So Scotty, we're gonna send the Get Well Fairy over that way to you in North Cackalack. So we hope you get well, Fairy. Keeping our prayers. Keeping you in our prayers. Keeping you lifted up in prayer, like they say in church. We're going to lift you up in prayer and put you on the sick and shut in list and hope you get well. So we are raising our frequencies for the light and lifting our vibrations, speaking our truth and healing our hearts with the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. You can call in and share your thoughts and comments with us tonight. And for our African Spirit segment, we are honoring Martin Delaney, abolitionist and editor and activist Martin Delaney, who's known as the father of Black nationalism. So we figured, since we're talking about Black History this month, centering on Black History this month, with our shows, we would honor Martin Delaney, the father of Black nationalism. You can follow us by joining the BTR page. You can join BTR by going on the Black Talk Radio Network page and join BTR, the social media experience. And you can join the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show group. And you can also follow us on the Twitters at MBSPIRIT radio show. That's MBS Spirit radio show on the Twitters. Speaking of Twitter, it's been so much talk on Twitter. We'll get into some of those hot topics a little bit later on. But let me just open up with a quote, right, Featherlight? We have our quotes for everyone. Okay, so quote for tonight comes from Queen Mother Harriet Tubman. This is one of my favorite quotes. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars to change the world.
Yes. I like that one too.
I do too.
I like it. It's very inspiring.
It's very inspiring.
Yeah.
Very inspiring. We have it in us to change the world. Yes, we do. Cece Pwede. And for an inspirational quote, here's an inspirational quote. Focus on the powerful, euphoric, magical, and synchronistic, beautiful parts of life, and the universe will keep giving them to you. So focus on the positive.
The law of
focus
attraction.
On the magic. The magical. Yes. Yes.
The law of attraction.
When I feel myself...
What you're focusing on.
What you're focusing on. When I catch myself like... constantly focusing on some negative thoughts, I've begun to redirect and say, okay, let me change that energy. Let me change that thought. Let me change those words. Like I stop saying, oh, I'm so tired. Even if I feel tired, I just don't keep saying it. I just say, okay. I have energy. So just trying to psych myself out. Because for years, I've been saying, oh, I'm so tired. Because I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue. So, I mean, I do have chronic fatigue. But, I mean, I've always been one to have to get a nap and, you know, have to get my little rest in, a little power nap to rejuvenate myself. So, yeah, I just try to, you know, focus on change my thinking. Change your thinking, change your life.
Right. Change your thinking, change your life.
Change your thoughts.
Yes. I never say something is killing me anymore. You know, you say, my head is killing me. My feet are killing me. Yeah. But it's just be just a regular thing until I realized how powerful words are and that they carry energy. So.
Yeah, like when I hear people say, kill two birds with one stone. I said, no, because I heard someone once say, liberate two birds with one stone.
Right.
You know, why do we say kill two? Why you want to kill two babies, two birds with one stone? So we liberate.
I mean, we have some of the worst sayings. The walk a by baby until the cradle falls down and the cradle falls and the baby.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that because I was going to mention that. Yeah, walk a by baby to the bow breaks and the baby falls. What?
Yeah.
The baby falls.
What kind of
murderous stuff
that?
Is that? Yeah. People with these old devilish satanic nursery rhymes, that's why these children so messed up. And it takes us all our lives to get right. Because we grew up listening to them whack-ass nursery rhymes. And Lord, I'm a Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall.
What? Why?
The man fell off the wall.
In pieces. Why?
Yeah.
Had to put himself back together again. Why?
Yeah. Thank goodness gracious. He threw it with some crazy things, some crazy nursery rhymes and thought processes. Santa Claus coming down the chimney and carrying on. Man coming into your house in the middle of the night. What the hell is that all about?
And daddy doesn't say anything.
Nobody says anything, but he just come in the middle of the night. Okay. And we believe that too. I mean, we really believe that. I shouldn't say that for the children. I don't think too many children believe in Santa Claus anymore. These children, they're so precocious. You know, I don't know. They probably do some of them. But anyway, you have a quote for us?
Let's see. My quote is, sometimes you've got to be able to listen to yourself and be okay with no one else understanding. That is a good one for me. Let me repeat that, because a lot of times I'll try to explain something and then I'll hope that someone gets it or understands it, and then when they don't, it's so disappointing and you know. But sometimes you just gotta be okay with they don't understand, that's okay. So sometimes you gotta be able to listen to yourself and be okay with no one else understanding. Now, here's my other one. This is one to give one a pause to think. Finish this sentence, listening audience. If I had 6 months to live, I would blank. What would you do? What would you do if you found out by reliable source that you had only 6 months to live? Do what you love. Follow your passion, your soul desire, what your soul wants. We have gifts that we have yet to open because we feel that we've got plenty of time. But who told you that you have more than 6 months? How do you know? How do you know that you have more? How do you know you have more? So for the month of February, since this has been designated by the powers that be, that this is Black History Month, I would like to extend the offer of a free mini numerology report to our listening audience for the full month of February. This report, based on your name at birth and your birth date, will give you three basic numbers based on this information. One is your life path, which is important to know. This is your own special path that you walk in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. The second number is your expression number, and that's how you express yourself to the outer world, your talents and your abilities and what you do in the world, the choices that you make. And the third one, that's the one that's really important. This is your soul urge, what you desire to be, to have, to do in this life. It's your inner world, your heart's desire, your hidden passion. So some of us don't know what that is. And this report, this number that will be given to you, will tell you what it is. And some of us may know what it is, but we don't know how to express it. So if you have a soul urge or a passion and you're not fulfilling it, you're not going after it, then you will probably run into some difficult times in your life because your soul urge has to be fulfilled or there will be some suffering. So send your information, if you're interested in these three numbers, to mindbodyspiritradio@gmail.com. Your full name at birth, first, middle, and last name, and your birth date, your day, your date, and the year. And we'll zip it right out to you.
I misplaced mine, or I'm sure I filed it somewhere. I may need my numbers. My numerology completed again.
I'll do it again.
Okay. I love that.
Sure.
Y'all. Thank y'all.
It's a good guide. It's a very good guide.
Okay. Now, they can reach by emailing us at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Not, it's just Mind, Body, Spirit Radio Show at gmail.com. Mind, Body, Spirit Radio Show at gmail.com. And you can say 704-802-5056. Press ** to unmute yourself if you'd like to jump in on this conversation tonight. So, speaking of conversation tonight, let's get into hot topics. Unless you have any more announcements to feel like, anything else?
Let's hear the hot topics.
Hot topics. Okay. First, I want to give condolences to the family and loved ones of Dennis Edwards of the Temptations. He transitioned. He actually transitioned right before his birthday because I see he was born February 3rd, 1943, and he transitioned February the 1st. Of this year, just last week. He was the lead singer of the Temptations, became one of the Temptations in 1968 after replacing one of my favorites, David Ruffin. My whole world ended that you left me. Ow. Shoot. I love me some David Ruffin, baby. I don't care what David Ruffin was doing, acting a fool. I don't care. Yeah, I love it. I'm telling you, baby. There'll never be another David Ruffin. You remember that? I know all the lines in that Temptations movie, though, and all the dance steps, too. There'll never be another David McGann. Some old craziness he said. When he was yelling through the window, you know, when they kicked him out the group.
Yes, I remember.
So he, Dennis Edwards, let me get back to Dennis Edwards. Okay, Dennis Edwards replaced David Ruffin, and he sang with the group from 1968 to 1976 and 1980 to 1984 and 1987 to 1989. Temptations, they went through quite a few changes with the Temptations group. Quite a few changes.
Yeah.
Now, I just read this today. There's a police investigation to his death. There were allegations of abuse by his wife, mm-hmm. Brenda Edwards. Mm-hmm. So Dennis Edwards was 74, and let me see, I think he passed from occasions. He was meningitis. Complications mm-hmm. due to this illness, meningitis. And so the documents allege that Brenda Edwards had attempted to suffocate him by holding his mm-hmm. head face down on the bed. And then they said she took his hearing aids from him. Now, you know that's mm-hmm. wrong if she did that, to take somebody's hearing aids from them. And he was already immobile, you know, bedridden.
Fine.
So, but you know, of course, she said that
she didn't do it.
Yeah. But you were about to say that's what?
That's the kind of thing that it's hard to make up, you know. Hearing aids for somebody to just, well, she took the hearing aids, well, you know, it just seems like there's something, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I hope she didn't. I hope that these are untrue accusations, and but there is a police investigation into his death. So there were some court documents filed by an adult protective service weeks right before his death. So I said, oh my God. You know, to hear the head transition, I was like, oh, you know, that's sad. But then when you hear this, that she may have been the cause of his death. It's just hard to digest. Very difficult to digest. So condolences. Also, Trayvon Martin would have been, I think, 23 on February the 5th. As we know, Trayvon Martin was viciously killed by that man. I don't even like to say his name. That man is still running around here being a menace to society. So he would have been 23 on February the 5th, Trayvon Martin. Mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin. You know, we were just talking about this feather light when Trayvon Martin was killed. It was like the sleeping giant rose from the slumber. It's like that was. I think Trayvon Martin's death was like Emmett Till's death. It was just like a combination. It was like that's it. God damn it, y'all just
going
too crazy now. Look. Now it's time to rise up.
Heads whipped around, you know, like what, you know, that's mm-hmm. like, wait a minute, wait
mm-hmm.
no, you mm-hmm. didn't.
Yeah. And as we know, they just continue mm-hmm. to kill little boys as they walk down the street. It still goes on. In mm-hmm. fact, there's another story about a young man. I'll mention that in just a second. But I definitely have to talk about this Black Panther movie. I will be pre-ordering my tickets. I cannot wait to see this movie. I cannot wait to see this movie. I'm so excited. And you know what? I'm not even into Marvel comics and all of that. I'm not into all of that. But what was that? That Luke Cage. I did like Luke Cage. And I watched one episode of Black Lightning. I have to catch up on it. I just haven't had a chance. I think I'm like maybe four episodes behind now. But the Black Panther movie, yay! Yippee, woo-hoo. So
I can't wait.
I'm telling
it's
you,
it's gonna be fabulous.
Right. A little bit about this movie. After the events of Captain America, Civil War King T'Challa returns home to the reclusive, technologically advanced African nation of Wakanda to serve as his country's new leader. However, T'Challa soon finds that he is challenged for the throne from factions within his own country. When two foes conspire to destroy Wakanda, the hero known as Black Panther must team up with CIA agent Everett K. Ross and members of the Dora Malaje Wakanda Special Forces to prevent Wakanda from being dragged into a world war. Whatever it's about, I don't care. I'm going to see it.
No, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. I'm yeah, that's all good and fine. Okay. I'm still going to see it. Right. Yeah. Whatever, yeah. All of that. Yeah, I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see
it. Use our magic. Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Early tracking suggests that the film could open to as much as $150 million when it debuts on February 16th, the start of the 4-day President's Weekend holiday. It's breaking the models. Yes, absolutely. Let's see. There was a spike in sales just around the beginning of the new year. AMC says the film is outselling all previous Marvel movies with strong sales in both urban and suburban locations. What's urban and what's suburban, really? Anyway, characters, yeah, speak on their words. Chadwick Boseman, I remember him from the Jackie Robinson film. That's what I associate him with. And then I think he was, I think he was in the Marshall film too, about Thurgood Marshall, I believe. So Chadwick Boseman plays T'Challa, Black Panther, and then there's Michael B. Jordan. He's playing Eric Killmonger, and people were giving Michael B. Jordan some flack about his cover. I forget what magazine is. He's on the cover of a magazine, and he's dressed like the Black Panthers, and so people were giving him flack about that. Being dressed like this, and he's engaging in cosplay. So Lupita Nyong'o, she's playing Nakia. And then we have Danai Gurira. She played, Tupac's mother in All Eyes on Me. And she is portraying the character of Okoye. How do you pronounce that, Featherlight? You're excellent pronunciation.
Okoye.
Okoye. I like that name. I like that.
That's pretty.
I like that. Okay. And then Daniel Kaluuya, he played in Get Out. He was the main character in Get Out. Then Letitia Wright. I think I first noticed her. Oh, she's playing Shuri. Now, she was in one of those episodes of Black Mirror. Letitia Wright. Oh. I think that's who she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Letitia Wright. And then Winston Duke.
The Black Museum.
Yes, the Black Museum episode of Black Mirror. And Winston Duke, not familiar with Winston Duke. I have to look at his IMBD. And he's playing Mbuka. And then my guy, Sterling K. Brown. Oh, I love Sterling K. Brown. Oh, my God. I have a TV crush on Sterling K. Brown. I just love him. I just do. I really, really do. On This Is It, his character, Randall, he is playing the hell out of that. And I'm glad that he has received many accolades for that particular role. And if you're not watching This Is Us, that is such an emotional show that's dealing with so many different issues that people face in life, real issues that people face in life. So I really enjoy watching this show. I'm behind on that one too. I got to catch up on my little TV shows. And then, of course, oh, Lord, Sister Angela Bassett. She's playing Ramonda. Oh, my God. Woo, mm-hmm. I love her, too. I mean, of course, I love Angela Bassett. Oh, my goodness. She looked fabulous at one of the premieres. She had on this, like, yiminya color, yellow, what you call it, shimmy-like jumpsuit. Oh, my God, she just... Angela Bassett, she makes some of these young girls have to sit down. I mean, she's she's just so together. So together. Oh my gosh, she's just a class.
The epitome of class.
Oh, class act. Mwah! Just beautiful. Oh my God. Absolutely love. And then Forrest Whitaker is portraying the character of Zuri. He is, and a great director too. So, you know, so many people are excited about this film that there were several different campaigns to raise money so that different children's groups like the Boys and Girls Club of Harlem could go and see the Black Panther movie. So there was a hashtag created, hashtag Black Panther Challenge. And people started GoFundMe pages to raise money. And there was one for the Boys and Girls Club of Harlem. This campaign actually had an aim of raising $10,000 through their GoFundMe page. And within days, they raised more than $40,000 because the hashtag took off on social media. And now they're like over 200 campaigns in cities like Toronto, London, and even Ghana. And even Octavia Spencer and Miss Viola Davis, they have both been attracted to this campaign. Spencer said that she would rent out a theater in Mississippi so underprivileged children could go see the movie on big screen.
Wow.
And then Viola Davis lent her voice to a fundraiser in Austin, which just recently raised the entire $4,000 needed to send 200 kids to see the movie. Isn't that great?
It is really bringing people together. It's bringing the community together, and it hasn't even been shown yet. That's what's so fabulous about it. It hasn't even hit yet, and the excitement and the children are excited about it.
People are saying that it's important for children to see this film so that the children can see a different image of Black people on screen. And let's see here. I want to read about this Black Panther movie. One person said that the movie doesn't convey any stereotypes. It shows Africa in a different light. And I do feel that children do need to see Africa in a different light because, you know, when we were coming up, the only images of Africa that we were able to see were Ethiopians that were starving to death.
Why?
And suffering from famine and all of that. So those were the images that we were able to see. So it was years upon years before we really realized that Africa is a continent rich in resources. In fact, the repository of all minerals and wealth. So
that everybody wants to try to get a piece of.
So anyway, I'm so looking forward to going to see that film. We'll be seeing that on next Friday opening night. I'm going to see that film. I don't want to wait until the weekend because I actually want the opening night to be a huge, huge success.
Huge. Historical.
So speaking of Africa, I'll just jump to this mess about on the Today Show revealing this reconstructed bust of Queen Nefertiti resembling a white woman. And so, you know, people came out on that like, really? I mean, really, you just keep trying to rewrite history. These people are delusional. Just completely just delusional and the insanity of it all. I mean, it's already disgusting and insane to go and dig up people's graves and steal their jewelry and their bones and all that. And then you turn around and you make a whole science of Egyptology, okay, go and digging up our ancestors. My great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother could be, or grandfather, and, you know, you're going and stealing. That's what it is. It's stealing. You're stealing. And so on the Today Show, when they reeled it, I didn't see that show, of course. I mean, I don't even watch the Today Show. So, I mean, I think I came across it on, I don't know, came in my news feed or something. But it's just I just can't get words together to comment on it. It's just insane, stupid, crazy, ridiculous. Those are my words.
Ugh. Yeah.
For that whole deal. Shit. That dog.
Look at all the European women who portrayed Cleopatra. When they used to play the movies on TV, they don't play it anymore. But that's all we saw.
Yeah, Elizabeth Taylor, didn't she play? Elizabeth Taylor. I want to restrain her.
There was someone else. There were other European women who played Cleopatra, but she was the first. She was the most popular.
Elizabeth Taylor. Well, whatever. These people. I mean, you have enough people to portray. Portray your own people. So anyway, H&M is still paying the price for that hoodie fiasco. They're expected to close 170 stores this year. If you remember, H&M is the store that advertised the young boy with the "I'm the coolest monkey" hoodie. And his mom told everybody to stop tripping and get over it. So, but the EFF of South Africa went up in those malls and they said, "We're gonna show you who the coolest monkey is." I mean, they turned this store inside out and didn't steal anything. So they just turned it inside out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can't say looting. You can't say looting.
No. I love seeing that video when that young boy go in there and he just slammed that clothes rack down like, yeah. Now, coolest monkey. Now you got to close down 170 stores. Who's the coolest monkey now?
Mm-hmm. Right. When we learn that's where you can hit. That's where you can hit the enemy. That's where you can money, economy, mm-hmm. dollars.
Mm-hmm. Dollar
speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really quickly, I just want to touch on this whole Quincy Jones interview. This trending Quincy Jones. I guess in his old age, like people do when they get old, they just start spilling all kinds of tea. And Quincy Jones was spilling tea on Michael Jackson, talking about Michael Jackson didn't pay people for some of the music and all of this stuff. And then he went on to talk about Richard Pryor and Marvin Gaye, Marlon Brando, and he said the Beatles weren't that great. I mean, he just went on and on and on.
Wow.
I mean, Quincy Jones said he dated Ivanka Trump. I know Trump mad about that. I mean, he's like, wait a minute, my little male order brother, you've been sitting up here having sex with these black men too? Well, he probably know. But anyway, so, what did you say? Oh, it was Ivanka Trump Kushner. Honey, That's the daughter. That's right, Ivanka. Ivanka is the daughter. You know what I was? What's the wife's name? I can't. Melania. And I can't think of them. All them crazy people. But that's right. Thank you, Otis. Yeah, Melania is the wife. Yes, he said he dated. Cause you know, I was wondering about that. I was like, wait a minute. So when did he date her? Cause I thought Trump ordered her. You know, LaMelo LeBron. So I mean. You know, I was kind of wondering about that. Thanks, Otis. Otis always on point. That's right. Thank you. Ivanka. Yes. So, yes, Quincy Jones said he dated Ivanka. Ivanka Trump said she has some great legs or whatever. Whatever, Quincy Jones. Just sitting up here. Oh, my God. Quincy, why you got to be telling
like
everybody?
A bird.
I mean, yes. Singing like a bird. Singing like a bird. But you know what? Now, Richard Pryor's wife, I don't know how true this is, but there have been some statements that have come out saying what Richard Pryor's wife said, that, you know, Richard Pryor talked about his bisexuality in some of his diaries. And the way she put it, it was something that was known. And I guess maybe I was just too young to hear those kinds of that type of talk about Richard Pryor. And, you know, back in our day, it wasn't a big thing. If you were gay, you were gay. And the only people that we knew that were gay were like the flaming, what we used to call the flaming gay people, quote unquote sissies. I'm not trying to talk about anybody, but I'm just saying that's what we used to say. We no longer say sissies, like we no longer say retarded. But those were the people that we knew were gay. But other people that were gay, you didn't try to force it on anybody or it wasn't a big deal. I mean, you were gay, you just gay, okay, and you know, whatever. I mean, I have a gay aunt in my family. We all got somebody gay in our family, most of us probably, and it was never like a big deal. So but anyway, so Quincy Jones spilling all kinds of tea. You may have seen that on some of the websites. So I said, oh Lord, have mercy. I'm like, you feather, like, what made him come out with all of that? And you know, now Quincy, we've heard a few things about you too now. So
yeah, you got a glass house yourself, sweetie.
Quincy,
Don't throw stones when you live in a glass house.
But you know, Quincy probably say, and so what? You know, yeah, I probably did this and I did that too, but whatever. So, and I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, that's your life. If that's what you do, then that's what you do. So be it. I did not hear this commercial with the Dodge trucks using Dr. King's voice. I did hear excerpts after the fact, and just kind of saw a little of the video because, of course, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. But I know after the Super Bowl, many people talked about this, how it was. Just very insensitive to use Dr. King's drum major speech and his voice to peddle Dodge trucks when in that particular speech that was extracted, the comments that were extracted from his speech, was specifically speaking about how we fall into the trap of capitalism, how the media would tell us to buy this and buy that, or else we're not on this particular level, or we should engage in this capitalism and buying this type of perfume or lipstick or whatever the item is, how the media tries to promote and push things to us, and we fall into that trap. So if you want to call in and share your thoughts on what you felt about Dr. King's voice being used in that Dodge truck commercial during the Super Bowl, you are more than welcome to call in and share your thoughts on that. And speaking of the Super Bowl, I'll just touch on this, and you can also comment on this if you like. So after the Super Bowl, as usual, after these games like the World Series or the World Cup or something like that, you have these groups of people that come and just tear up a city. And so I've been hearing all week how these people after the Super Bowl were celebrating and complete caused a riot and just tore up parts of Philadelphia. I heard that police officers put hydraulic fluid on the light poles, which I never heard of. Put the hydraulic fluid on the light poles so that the people wouldn't climb the light poles. And well, since they put the hydraulic fluid on the poles and couldn't climb up, the people couldn't climb up the poles. These people climbed up the pole. Well, no, pulled the pole from the ground and just tore a pole down. And they were climbing on top of buildings. I mean, I even heard like one of the police scanners and I mean, the police were sounding like they were in just frantic mode. But on the ground, they weren't doing anything to stop these people from tearing up the city. And so what black people are saying, many black people are saying, and some of not just black people, but people are saying, wait a minute, you come with a totally different approach when it's black people protesting the killing of someone. And you want to come out with riot gear the tanks and the gas and all of that. You want to come out with all of this, but then these people, they can just come, you know, when the crowd is majority young white men, you allow them to just tear up a city and tilt over cars and all kinds of things. There were even some people eating horse manure in the street.
Horse manure.
Like, really? Really? A horse? Ugh. Another. I don't even think I can talk about that anymore. But I do want to mention that it is a double standard. And I'm glad that this is happening because now people can see when you juxtapose the two different groups, people protesting someone was killed, you have police in riot gear and people getting arrested, but then you have another group of people celebrating a Super Bowl win and they can tear up the streets, flip over cars, all this. Break out windows, just doing all kinds of damage to a city. And
they will not be called thugs.
No, they're not called thugs. They're just celebrating. And from my understanding, many of the so-called reporters for the news stations were laughing about it all. And it was just funny. And, they're just having fun tearing up the city. But what they should do, and you know, maybe that's something that we as people should do, we should start a campaign maybe and say, hey, mayor of Philadelphia, chief of police, are you going to zoom in on those video cameras of all of that and arrest some of those people and charge them or fine them for tearing up the city? Because see, if that was my car parked on the side of the street, because in Philadelphia, you know, the parking is a lot of major cities, you park on the street in front of your home or something like that. So your car could just be on that street and someone flips over your car and now your car is damaged because these people call themselves celebrating. I don't think that's right. So the chief of police really should be looking into those, looking into the video and zooming in on those faces, and those people should be held accountable for the damage done to the city of Philadelphia. Because I like Illy Philly. Don't tear up Illy Philly. I like Illy Philly. So, any thoughts on that, fellow life?
It would be a good idea. Tape all of this and then just show it over and over and over again with little comments like you just said, and just put it out in their face, like this is what's going on. Do you see this? So this is okay. So this is okay with you.
Right.
Compare.
So quickly, right in their face. There is a exhibit honoring Sandra Bland, and it opened at the Houston Museum of African American Culture. And you can visit the African American Museum of Culture up until February the 28th. to view the exhibits. Yeah, I think that's great.
Good. I'd like to go by and see that.
And quickly, J. Cole, rapper J. Cole, donated $10,000 to a Baltimore grassroots organization as a part of Colin Kaepernick's $1 million pledge to charity. So, snap, snap for you, J. Cole. Clap, clap for you, J. Cole. And then Drake, also, rapper Drake, gave a student, I think she was in Florida, he gave her $50,000 for her college tuition. So I want to just congratulate those brothers for stepping up and doing the work.
Yes, yes, giving back.
Yep, giving back.
Thank you.
Thanks. Stepping up, doing the work. Well, you know, a lot of these people now, they can't just sit back and just not do anything, because black folks not going for that anymore. They'll come down on you. They will slam you, and they will not support you. Because we're just not having it. We're just not having it anymore. You just can't sit here and continue to think that we're going to support you, but then you're not supporting the cause on the streets. No, we're not doing that no more.
No more free rides.
No more free rides. No. I just have to share this quickly, Featherlight, and then we'll go into your love, the body. I want to just mention, because I think we should definitely highlight these young children also. A teenage girl and her brother used the sister's struggle with depression to create an app to help others. The Not Okay app was created for teens with mental health issues. Studies show an estimated 49.5% of adolescents 13 to 18 have a mental disorder. So Hannah Lucas, she was diagnosed with a medical condition that caused frequent fainting. She became anxious, depressed, and started to self-harm. And she found herself constantly passing out. And she was afraid that she may pass out and she would be alone and no one would know. So she was a part of, let me see, what's the name of this program? Let me see. I think it was at Georgia Tech. She was a part of, I think it was Georgia Tech. She was a part of a coding program or something. I can't see where it is. But anyway, so her and her brother designed the app, the Not Okay app. So if she feels like, or someone that has these this mental illness or the illness of this fainting, then they could just click on that app, and then all of their contacts would receive a message saying, "Hey, I'm not okay. Please call me, text me, or come find me." And the person's current GPS location will also be sent to them, so they'll know exactly where the person is. So the app was developed for teens with mental health issues, and it's $2.99 a month. But I'm sure that adults can use it as well. Yeah, $2.99 a month. That's not bad at all. Heck, I spend $2 on coffee sometimes if I go to the store. So yeah, $2.99 a month, and you can get the Not Okay app. Yeah, exactly. Okay, here it is right here. So she pitched the app while taking a summer class on entrepreneurship at Georgia Tech.
Ah.
Yep. And the professors connected the family with a development company in Savannah. I have a couple of ideas for some apps myself, and I really would like to get those apps going, because that's the ticket right there. I could just get an app and just whoop. Sell that app and sell it for, okay, $50 million. I'd be all right with $50 million. I can make it with that. All right, let's go ahead on and get into your well, you know what, we only have 2 minutes to break, so do you want to just kind of wait until after the break to start on your love the body, so you don't have to stop?
Yeah, go ahead and finish with did you have another topic that you wanted to run by or anything?
Well, I'll just put this out there. If anybody would like to comment on Philadelphia and the riots that took place. What are your thoughts on that, or the Dr. King? And you can call in and share your thoughts. While we go on to this quick break, you can go to the Black Talk Media Network page and donate. And you can also join the BTR page as well. And don't forget to follow us on the Twitters and on Black Talk Radio Network. On the Black BTR page, rather, you can join the group Mind, Body, and Spirit, and that way you can keep up with some of the discussions that we have and share your show topic ideas. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. We will be right back after this break.
Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Okay, and we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. This is the Blackness show. We're going to get into our Black History talk, but before that, Feather Light, love the body.
Love the body. If you can talk, you can sing. If you can walk, you can dance. That's a Zimbabwe proverb. Dance is worship with the body. So let's talk about dance. Traditionally in the motherland, dance, along with music and song, was part of the seamless fabric of life. Many of these dances were formed by watching the elements of the earth and animals and the movements of everyday people, and the movements of watching these animals would be turned into dance movements. Rhythm and movement is natural in our bodies and has been a primal form of communication and is very deeply rooted in us as a people, people of African descent. Singing and dancing together is what binds a community together, and it has been recorded since the dawn of time that spiritual leaders and healers were first dancers. And in some tribes, the chief was the best dancer of the village. If you wanted to challenge him as a chief, there was a dance-off. And if you think about it, we do that now. It is ennui. There is no right or wrong way to dance. Just move to the rhythm. It is in you. If you are African, the rhythm is already there. Here are some of the benefits of dancing. You can dance alone or with someone else. You don't really need anybody else. Dancing is a form of meditation. It is a form of balancing the root chakra because your feet are connecting with earth. It improves stamina. It improves your range of motion, your coordination, and your flexibility. It strengthens your cognizant abilities and fights Alzheimer's. It fights muscle stiffness. When you're listening to old songs, when I had my dance company and I would go around to visit the senior citizen homes, it is amazing how you would play certain songs and it would bring back their memory, and then they would start singing along or humming along. So it improved their cognitive abilities. It also improves your balance. As you get older, you sometimes tend to lose your balance and you may fall, break your hip. Decreases your chances of falling as you age. It also fights depression by lifting your mood, releasing good endorphins into the system. It builds your confidence and your self-esteem. You can do moves that you didn't know you could do once you get into the music. And music can trigger happiness. So find that song, that special song for you, that song that you say, Black Rose, that's my song. Find that song, put it on, and dance. Dance. It does wonders for the body. It does wonders for the soul. It does wonders for your mental ability in everything. Dance, dance, dance.
Keep on dancing, dance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I love to dance. Always have. Well, I had to grow into it because when I was younger, I didn't know how to dance. But once I learned, baby, I was a dancing fool. Mm-hmm. Boogie, 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 till you just can't boogie no more. So thank you, Feather Light, for sharing that about dance. And when we dance, we do activate the melanin in our bodies, too. It's something about the tapping of the feet. You're tapping those right. Sensitive areas that people work with reflexology. Yes, meridians. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Mm-hmm. Are we ready for some blackness?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Bring
let's
it
get
on.
Down with the, let's get down with the get down. Let's get down with the blackness. Mm-hmm. So, for the next, what do we have? What, three more Wednesdays in this month? We will highlight just different black toys, factoids about black history, blackness, black people, black thought, all black everything. So I will just be pulling different pieces from several of the books that I have in my library, and we'll just be sharing some just different topics, just different pieces. I think that we will actually start out with, let's just talk about Dr. Carter G. Woodson, of course, son of former slaves, worked his way out of coal mines of Kentucky to receive a PhD from Harvard University. He was troubled by the virtual absence of any meaningful historical work on the American saga as it reflected, as the term he coined went, Negro history. Woodson was a pioneer in a field that hardly even existed. Virtually every historical account of the United States omitted, minimized, misstated, distorted, or lied outright about the nature of the struggles and triumphs of African Americans. So in 1915, Woodson founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History. And today it operates under the name of the Association for the Study of Afro-American Life and History. A year later, he started what would become a highly influential historical publication, the Journal of Negro History. By 1926, Woodson was on something of a crusade. The scholar had an inspiration, a national week, devoted entirely to telling the African-American story from the point of view of African-Americans. He called it Negro History Week. It began as a nationwide campaign to shine a spotlight on the achievements, trials, and self-determination of African Americans. Today, the focus is on an entire month of discovery. Black History Month is celebrated in February. He selected February for Negro History Week because of its resonance with a number of historical events affecting African Americans, including the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Woodson died in Washington, D.C. in 1950 at the age of 74. So, the father of Black history. Let me see.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and one thing about Black history, I know when we were in school, when I was in school, like in elementary school in the early 70s, we were basically guided to more so just discuss Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, and Harriet Tubman. Who else, Aja? Featherlight. Who else do you recall that we were allowed? Who was favored?
I am woman. I am a woman.
Oh, Sojourner Truth. And Sojourner Truth and Frederick Douglass. Yes. Those are that we mostly could write our reports on. Those are the only people that we were allowed to really study, research, and discuss and write our Black history reports on. But as time grew, as time passed, we began to learn about other people like Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Martin Delaney, who we're going to speak about tonight, and many, 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 many others. Ida B. Wells. Well, you know, I'm trying to think, when were we introduced to Ida B. Wells in school? But I know that there was not a focus on lynching. There was more so a focus on, I don't know, in school, I guess like now, contemporary teaching, teachers had so much difficulty discussing slavery. And then what I always, well, not, it didn't disturb me at that time. Well, I didn't know it disturbed me, but later in life, I could see how it disturbed me and many others. Our history always started with slavery, just always starting us out in a cotton field and all of that crap.
Right.
So,
right.
And that really destroys a child's self-esteem when you're sitting in class, especially if you're in a mixed class, a class of diverse students. And then, so everybody looking at you like, oh, y'all slaves. Oh, y'all come from, you didn't have no history. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, thankfully, people like Arthur Schomburg, Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, and many others, Tony Browder, I mean, they brought so much history to us. Dr. Ace Willard, I mean, we can go on and on. Chekhov Diop, pre-colonial Africa. We can just go on and on and on about people that have reveals so much hidden history and information. So as we dig into our blackness, let's see, where should we start? I kind of wanted to talk about this because I did write a paper on this before, the great debate between W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. And I think that's a good discussion there. We'll just start with W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington's debate. So a driving force in the movement that arose in the early 20th century in the United States was the conflict over the issue of seeking social equality for the group then known as the Negro race. Two giants, Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, took opposing views. I had a professor, I was in a class, and I had this one professor who said that Booker T. Washington was a sellout. And so, in another class, like I said, we had to write a paper, like who was right or wrong between Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. So the debate between the two men was an illuminating one. What we know now is that in a capital-driven society, social equality without economic parity is impossible. In retrospect, we can conclude that both Washington and Du Bois were right. And that was my conclusion in my paper. Both of them had good points. And we often speak about this because as we know, during the struggle, there are very different philosophies and decisions in terms of how we should reach liberation. Like, we know that we had Dr. King Dr. King with his nonviolence stance and position in the beginning of the civil rights movement versus Malcolm X and others. You know, Stokely Carmichael, even though Stokely Carmichael, they all respected each other. That's one thing about the brothers. They all respected each other. They just had different viewpoints on how we can reach the goal. Let's see. Du Bois's movement eventually gained prominence, but history supports Washington's viewpoint, and the argument continues today: social integration versus economic self-sufficiency. For Du Bois and for other African American leaders, the idea of accepting legal and social distinctions rooted in race was deeply offensive, as was the suggestion that work to overcome racial discrimination should be off until some future state of African American economic influence emerged. In 1905, Du Bois and William Monroe Trotter founded a group that became known as the Niagara Movement, so named because the group had been convened at an organizational meeting held near Niagara Falls. It was dedicated to the abolition of all racially discriminatory practices in the United States. 3 years later, following a race riot in Springfield, Illinois, Du Bois's group of African American intellectuals decided to broaden their movement. They began reaching out to a number of like-minded whites and eventually launched on February 12, 1909, the 100th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth, a new organization dedicated to promoting racial equality, opposing segregation, seeking justice for those who perpetrated racially motivated violence. And we know that this group is now called the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP. And that's Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. So Du Bois, he primarily wanted us to focus on education, higher education, whereas Booker T. Washington wanted us to focus more on like vocation, learning skills and trade and integration, things like that. So I think that both of them, and my conclusion was, both of them had excellent points, because you need the educators and you need workers. Okay, so we need the mathematicians and the scientists, and we also need some seamstress to make some clothes. We need some people to know how to milk some cows and all of that, farm. We need
build
all of
houses.
That. Build the homes. I mean, Tuskegee, they were learning to make the bricks and build buildings. So we need all of that. And we need the people that can conduct the research, like what W.E.B. Du Bois was doing. So, my conclusion, both of them were right. So, what do you think, Featherline?
Well, so long as we have the same destination in mind, we agree on the on what the goal is, the destination, then it's normal for two or three people to have different paths as to how to get there, because we don't all think the same. We don't all view life the same. We don't all perceive things the same. Booker T. Washington, his background, was that of learning how to do things, how to make things, how to build things, that grow things. That was his background. So that's what he focused on. And of course, Du Bois was into the intellectual side. But so long as, in this particular case, so long as we're all our eyes are on liberation. That's important. And again, as you said, sometimes you respect each other. I don't see it that way, but I respect your point of view.
Absolutely. You know, I was reading Baba Dick Gregory's book, and he's talking about the Pullman porters. And in the book, he mentions how many of the Pullman porters died millionaires because they were viewed as invisible on those trains. And so for many people that were boarding the trains, many of the white people, they would talk about the stock market and how it would be fixed and all of that. And so black people would take the porters would just take that information and they would take it back to the community and they would become rich. They would invest in the stock market and they died as millionaires, because they were listening. Because, and we've seen or read how people that were slaveholders, they would just talk about their enslaved people, their captives, as if they were invisible. And to me, that's I just can't even fathom that. But they would just talk about them like they were invisible, and like they were just too stupid to understand the conversation, unbeknownst to them. These people taking this information back, you know, and that's how many. Yes, and that's how a lot of the communication was able to get back to black people, because black people would be in the stores and they would be listening and they'd take that information back out into the community, and people were well informed just because people were listening, paying attention all the while, you know, some people thinking, oh, they don't know anything. They're too stupid to comprehend this conversation. Little did they know. So yeah, I thought that was an interesting fact about the Pullman porters, how they were able to say ear hustle and get that information.
Another point about the porters is that they were so nameless that each one of them was called the same thing, George.
Because there's a movie about that,
How they thought of them. Right. Each one of them was George. So they didn't have to think about anybody's, you're Bill, you're William, you're George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them. And I think that film is called George, or My Name is George. What is the name of that film? Is it My Name is George, or Call Me George?
No, My Name is George. It's not My Name is George. It's not that it. That's not it. But I'll think of it.
Okay. Yeah, I do recall watching that years ago. So let's see. Let's talk a little bit. Let's talk about a little bit about Black Seminoles. How about that? Black Seminoles. Many slaves of South Carolina and Georgia escaped bondage in the 18th century by running away to Florida, where in the marshes and swamps of this Spanish colony, they eluded capture. These runaways eventually bonded with Indian survivors of local wars from the Creek and Cherokee nations. Known as the Seminole Indians, they created a new ethnic group, the Black Seminoles, and numbered over 100,000 before 1750. Fiercely independent and excellent scouts and traders, the Black Seminoles assumed a prominent role as scouts in the Mexican War of the late 1840s. But their valor and loyalty to the nation were not rewarded with the promise, with the land promised them, and they were eventually forced onto reservations in Florida and later Oklahoma. Black Seminoles. Now, did you know that Drapetomania was the name of what some people termed, rather, a disease causing Negroes to run away? Was how one Southern doctor named Samuel Cartwright of the University of Louisiana explained the fact that hundreds of African Americans were fleeing Southern plantations in the 1840s. They must be sick. So they thought they was, why sick do you want to run away?
Sick of being a slave.
sick of being captured.
Oh my gosh.
Sick of being brutalized. So they called it drapetomania. You want to run away? Why you want to run away from me? And I'm treating you so good. I'm giving you this cabin. And I can come in here and just take advantage of you and your family whenever I want to. And you want to run away? I just don't understand what your problem is.
I don't understand
what your problem. You must be sick. There's something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. Let me see. So let's go to, what is this here? One second, and I get to this. I'm trying to find my piece on Plessy versus. Let's see. One second. Give me a second here. And I'm gonna get to this. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go with this part right here. Okay, very often after a lynching, commonplace in the south of the early 20th century, would be the catalyst that sent a family or an entire town's black population up north. One group of African Americans from Florida told investigators that the horrible lynching had prompted them to move. The Chicago Urban League noted that after lynchings, colored people from that community will arrive in Chicago inside of 2 weeks. Migration after lynching. There were so many Southerners that left the South to go up north to run away from lynchings. But lynchings were happening all over the country, which they did find out. And if it wasn't the lynchings, it was just still the same discrimination up north. So like Malcolm X said, wow. if you live below the Canadian border, then you live in the South. So there was no difference. Yeah. And that's something that, right. That's what Ida B. Wells revealed in her research, how the lynchings were happening, not just in the South. They were happening across the country at that time. And the NAACP would hang out a banner when someone was lynched, and they would say a man was lynched today. A person was lynched today. It wasn't just men that were lynched. Mm-hmm. There were women and children that were lynched. What I find so horrifying, so horrific, is the fact that when people were lynched, quite often, in many instances, their bodies were not allowed to be removed from the trees, so people would have to continue to walk by that person's body hanging from the tree. And just to think about the trauma of that, the trauma. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, okay, Kansas.
That's psychological.
Yes.
Psychological trauma. Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, because I mean, you know, I'm really wondering if I've been suffering from depression after seeing, you know, Michael Brown being killed and Trayvon Martin and so many others. You know, Ezell Ford. I mean, just with Sandra Bland, we just go on and on and we already know. So I mean, just constantly seeing those deaths or hearing about those deaths, you begin to internalize that. And even someone like myself that's aware of the system and how these things have happened and continue to happen, we didn't talk about the story about the young man, 16 years old. He was just shot and killed by the police in Los Angeles just the other day. They left his body out on the street just like Michael Brown. He had a 9-month-old child. So, you know, these things just continue to happen. These killings continue to happen. And it is, it's traumatic. It's very traumatic. So I know I had to kind of pull myself away from just constantly reading about these killings or seeing the deaths. I had to just kind of just take myself out of that for a while, because I know it was beginning to affect me. And, you know, that's why I say that we even though in our community, sometimes we look at therapy as something that we don't need because we're strong Black people. But, you know, I think that that's a big problem because we always have to be strong, especially Black women. We always have appear to be strong and multitask and we can handle it. And then for Black men, you know, you got to be strong and hold a family together and not appear weak and all this. And sometimes it's
don't show emotion, don't cry.
Yeah. It's okay. It is okay to sometimes feel like I need to take a breather, I need to take a break, or I need to talk to a friend, I need to cry. You need someone that you can go to. And if you don't have a friend, like I always say, go pay a therapist because they have to listen to you. So go see one go see a therapist or call a 1-800 line and speak with someone, a crisis line, because we have to have someone to talk to. You have to have someone to someone that you can share your thoughts and concerns with. I think that's very important. Have a friend, someone. Any thoughts, Feather, before I move on?
No. I couldn't hear you just now, but go ahead.
Oh, you could? Oh, okay.
No.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's 10:30, so let's take our break, and then we're going to come back with our African spirit, so we'll continue on with the celebratory time of the Blackness. And as I mentioned, we'll continue to speak on various Black toys. I'm going to call it Black toys instead of Fact toys. We'll continue to speak on various Black toys throughout the month. But as you know, if you listen to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, we often highlight people as we do through our African Spirit segment, which we will speak on when we return. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit show.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, and we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show, and tonight we are honoring Martin Delaney, Dr. Martin Delaney, for our African Spirit segment. Martin Delaney has often been credited as the father of Black nationalism. He was an editor, a civil rights activist, abolitionist, doctor, and author. Born May 6, 1812. He transitioned January 24, 1885. And there is a historic plaque in his honor in Pittsburgh. But he was born in Charlestown, Virginia, which is now West Virginia. So he was an abolitionist, physician, newspaper editor. And he became one of the most influential and successful anti-slavery activists of the 19th century. He spent his life working to end slavery. He was a successful physician, one of the first African Americans admitted to Harvard Medical School. He used his influence to educate others about the evils of slavery with a number of abolitionist publications. Martin Delaney is the first African American. He was the first African American field officer in the U.S. Army and one of the earliest African Americans to encourage a return to Africa, like Marcus Garvey's Back to Africa movement. In Pittsburgh, he became became active in abolitionist activities, including leading the vigilance committee that helped relocate fugitive slaves, helping to form the Young Men's Literacy and Moral Reform Society, and joining the Integrated Militia militia to help defend the black community against white mob attacks. Lord knows there were countless white mob attacks. Delaney was, he was born to a slave father and a free mother. His mother took her children to Pennsylvania in 1822 to avoid their enslavement and persecution brought on by attempting to teach her children to read and write, which was illegal at that time. And can you believe that now we have some children that don't enjoy reading, or they don't want to learn how to read? I remember speaking to a young girl, and she said that she wanted to become a doctor, but she didn't like to read. I was like, what? Maybe you have to read. You can't become a doctor if you don't have a passion for reading, because you have to constantly study. You don't just study for 4 or 8 years and you don't read anymore. So anyway, he founded The Mystery, the first African-American newspaper published west of the Allegheny Mountains. His articles about various aspects of the anti-slavery movement were picked up by other papers, and his renown began to spread, but a libel suit against him was filed and won by Fiddler Johnson, and he was then forced to sell the paper. But guess what? Frederick Douglass quickly hired Delaney to write for his paper, The North Star, in 1847. However, Frederick Douglass and Martin Delaney did not always agree on the right course for the abolitionist movement. See, we've always had these contrast between philosophies between our leaders. Like we just spoke about Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, and we had Martin and Malcolm X, and Du Bois went up against Marcus Garvey. So we always have had these different conflicts in our community. And I know people were talking about when Tariq Nasheed and Dr. Umar Johnson, when they were having their social media fight or whatever, and people were like, oh, you know, y'all shouldn't be fighting like that. You know, y'all make it so bad, and you know, y'all not supposed to. I was like, hey, that's history. We've always had people that, you know, had different positions and different philosophies. And I think that's just how it is. I'm not saying that someone is right or wrong, and maybe somebody is wrong, but that's your opinion, that's your position. So you're exactly able to opine in that way. So, but anyway, so Frederick Douglass hired him to write for the North Star. They had conflicting opinions on how to reach that goal. Liberation. So 2 years later, Delaney published The Condition, Elevation, Immigration, and Destiny of the Colored People of the United States, politically considered, claiming that even abolitionists would never accept blacks as equals, and thus the solution to the black condition lay in integration of all African Americans back to Africa. In 1859, Delaney led an immigration commission to West Africa to explore possible sites for a new black nation. When the Civil War began in 1861, he returned to the United States, jettisoning for a time his immigrationist views. He recruited thousands of men for the Union Army. And when Reconstruction began, Delaney was assigned to the Freedmen's Bureau in South Carolina. There he called for black pride, the enforcement of black civil rights, and land for the free people. He became active in local Republican politics, losing a close election for Lieutenant Governor of South Carolina, but later serving briefly as a judge in Charleston, South Carolina. And let's see, in 1880, Delaney withdrew from the Liberian Exodus Company and moved first to Boston, Massachusetts, and then to Wilberforce College in Xenia, Ohio. he is considered the father of Black nationalism as he transitioned in Xenia, Ohio, January 12, 1855. And that is Martin Delaney. Yes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. I didn't know he was so close to a crazy devil, so maybe I forgot. But that's good, mm-hmm. working right with him like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember hearing about Martin Delaney when I was an adult, because I didn't hear about him in school. We didn't read about him in school. I was actually with a Black study group when I was introduced to Martin Delaney, and I was like, what? I never heard of this man before. Are you kidding me? But oh yes, I remember the other person, of course, and I'm glad that I thought about her. The other person, of course, that we were able to report about was Rosa Parks.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Rosa Parks here lately because, you know, Rosa Parks was the rape crisis investigator for Recy Taylor. Rosa Parks was, of course, working with the NAACP. And so she would go and collect those stories and record the stories of people that were assaulted and raped, sexually assaulted by white mobs. And see, when we were in school, and I was talking to a group a couple of weeks ago about this, when we were in school, you know, we were always taught, Rosa Parks, she was this little nice, little sweet, quiet seamstress, and she was tired. And she just said, you know, oh, today is the last day. I'm just going to sit on the back of this bus and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and hogwash, hogwash, hogwash. Rosa Parks was a fierce, strong activist, and that history has been hidden from us. This woman was powerful, okay? Rosa Parks was not this little meek, mild woman that they taught us in school. And I'm just so upset. I mean, I'm just furious that this so-called educational system just lied to us. Just distorted our history. Just had us thinking all this off-the-wall stuff about people and, you know, it's just like, are you serious? I mean, who does that? Why do you? I'm not asking this question because I don't already know that the answer is rhetorical, but it's just like, why do you do that? Why do you keep people from their history? Why do you separate them from their history? And that's why it's so important for us to tell our own stories, because we grew up thinking, like I said, Rosa Parks was just this little weak little old lady, little old seamstress, and she's just tired. And, I'm just not going to sit back there today. And that was not the case.
One day. Yeah.
Right. That was not the case. She was completely disturbed by Emmett Till's death. And just imagine her hearing about, you know, Recy Taylor's story and so many others. Countless other
stories.
We
don't know about.
Yeah, just think about her having to internalize that. Yes, Scotty. Scotty mentions they both agreed on putting Southern racist slaveholders in the ground. No, that's right. But speaking of Frederick Douglass and Martin Delaney.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They agreed on that.
They agreed on that. All right, then. So that's our African spirit. Let me see. I want to do the. Do you want to do your first Featherlight, and then I'll do mine. Or are you ready?
Okay.
I can share mine.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Did you know? Did you know the French artist, the French artist Bartholdi, originally designed the Statue of Liberty as France's tribute to the emancipation of the United States of U.S. slaves. France and England no longer participate in slavery. U.S. was the last to end it. The original Statue of Liberty had Negroid features and the broken chains of slavery hanging from her arm. Bartholdi was encouraged, that's a polite way of saying it, by the United States to alter the image to what we see today. They did not, the United States did not like the picture of a black woman representing their country. Even though France thought it was a gift, saying, oh, you finally freed your slaves and joined the rest of the nations in abolishing slavery, and here's a nice gift for you. This is a representative of what you've done. And they said, we don't like that. And so they had to redo the statue, and that is the statue that you see today. Another did you know? In 1990, Mattel Toys created a Nigerian Barbie doll for adult doll collectors. The doll had dark African features with African dress and braided hairstyle. The price of the doll, however, was too expensive as a toy for children. It was made explicitly for adult doll collectors. So Mattel made a very nice grip on the black woman's beauty and style, capturing it, bottling it, and selling it back. Did you know?
Did you know? Did you know? All right, then. Okay, fella. Well, now we know. Now we know. Yep. Well, I did you know?
Okay, let us hear it.
My did you know is peaches. Did you know that peaches can help with health and radiant skin? One of the major health benefits of peaches is skincare. Vitamin A and C make peaches a great natural moisturizer. And so the vitamins can help regenerate skin tissue and help slow the aging process. So the vitamin C can also help reduce... Vitamin C helps to reduce formation of dark circles, fine lines, and wrinkles. The presence of so many nutrients, vitamins, and antioxidants gives the proper diet for healthy growing hair. Peaches are effective applied directly to the... Effective applied directly to the scalp, protecting hair against loss. Did not know that. Let me see. Hold on 1 second. Let me get back to my other piece here. I'm just going to peaches. And so, let's see. Wait a minute. Okay, so you can rub some peach flesh on the skin as a mask, and it allows peach enzymes to nourish and refresh your skin. So I'm going to apply some peaches to my hair, to my scalp, and see. I'm going to see into my skin. I think I'll try this. I'll see.
I know I will. Mm-hmm. I know I will. I could see. And then vitamin C. See, vitamin C builds up your immune system, all these diseases and flus and bugs and infections and stuff going around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to use the peaches, as they say. And then when you put it on your skin, it's just absorbed, you know. So, yeah, I'm going to try it.
Papaya is good for your skin also. Like if you have cellulite, you can use papaya and just rub the papaya on the area, like if it's your legs or something, back of your legs. The papaya is supposed to reduce cellulite. Now, did you know that Felicia from the movie Friday, Ice Cube's film, you know, Felicia, can I borrow your car?
Yeah.
Can I borrow your DVD?
But it's the Mac.
Yeah, but it's the Mac. Yeah. So Felicia from Friday, the movie Friday, she has a vegan restaurant. In, I think, California. Yeah. I've seen you the picture of her. She doesn't look the same, but I remember first seeing her on Def Comedy Jam. She was hilarious, but she was only on Def Comedy Jam for like one or two shows that I can recall, and then I didn't see her anymore. And then we saw her in the Friday movie, and then that was like it. I don't recall seeing her in anything else. So I guess she went on to open up her restaurant because she has a great little vegan restaurant. I'll send it to you. All right, and then quickly, our gemstone for tonight, and then Featherlight, you're going to take us into our next segment. Let's see, the Hawk's Eye. The Hawk's Eye gemstone. It's banded and has a hawk-like eye. The properties of the Hawk's Eye. Oh, no. We're supposed to be talking about rose quartz tonight because I wanted to talk about love. Because we're on this healing phase.
Right.
Okay, so that's right. That's right. For Lover's Day. Hold on, people. Give me a second here. Let me get to my rose quartz as I flip through my little crystal gem book. Where is it? Where is it, rose quartz? One second here. Rose quartz, where are you? Well, I can just tell you about rose quartz. Okay, here it is. Okay, so rose quartz. You can find rose quartz South Africa, Russia, USA, Brazil, Japan. Appearance usually translucent but may be transparent. And properties of the rose quartz: attunes to energy of unconditional love and heals the heart, which of course is our focus. Calms and reassures, bringing about deep inner healing, releases blockages from unexpressed emotions, opens heart chakra, soothes wounded heart, and internalized pain. Helps those who have never received love to access heart. Aids positive affirmations for self-trust and self-worth. Teaches how to love oneself. Encouraging self-forgiveness and acceptance. Aids physical heart and circulatory system. Said to increase fertility. And also soothe burns and blistering. You can wear this gemstone, of course, over the heart. Something else that you could do with rose quartz is if you're desirous of loving yourself more or bringing love into your life, you can take a rose quartz crystal and place it under your pillow. Okay, that will help you. Also, if you want to enhance the love making with your partner, okay, before engaging, you take that rose quartz and you place it up under the pillow, and then you two can get busy, and it's, the rose quartz is supposed to like really enhance the sexual acts and activities. So try that for the month of February and throughout the rest of the year, throughout your love life, or healing yourself and healing your heart, because the rose quartz is supposed to have those beautiful, beautiful properties to help us heal our heart and bring more love into our lives and enhance the love that you have. Okay. So that's
beautiful,
rose quartz.
Beautiful.
Yes.
And remember, when you purchase a rose quartz, when you purchase any gemstone, make sure that you cleanse it when you get it home. Just run it under some running water for a few minutes, or you can add some pink salt to it and run it under some water, or just let it sit in the water with the pink salt, or you can just put them outside under the moon overnight, or put them out in the sun. Just different ways to cleanse the gemstones, but remember that someone else's energy may be on it if you don't do these things. So before you start getting powers or whatever from it, properties from it, make sure that it is attuned to you, to your energy.
All right. Thank you. Good, thank you. Okay. What you have for us?
Okay. So, it is time to relax and release. Relax and release. So, first, relax your face by knitting your eyebrows together and then releasing. Relax your neck by
tilting your head down towards your, relax your neck by tilting your head down towards your neck and push your chin up to your chest, down to your chest. Then release. Relax your shoulders, bringing them up to your ears. Drop them. Then shrug them a little bit. To relax your arms, push both arms away from your torso, stretch them out, and then relax them by your side. To relax your legs, point your toes as far away as they will stretch, and then relax. Do this again. Now breathe in through your nose to the count of four. Exhale to the count of six. Inhale, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four, five, six. One more time. Inhale, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four, five, and six. Now, if you feel like it, stand up and just shake your body. If you had to work today, I'm sure you have a little stress in your shoulders and your neck. So just stand up and just shake. Start by just resting your heels on the floor, just tapping your heels on the floor, and then shake your knees, shake your hips, shake your torso. Shake your arms, your shoulders. Stop right there. Don't shake your head. And just smile and relax. Now take your right ear and drop it to your right shoulder. Lift it back up to the center. Take your left ear, drop it to your left shoulder. And back to center. Take your head and drop it. Drop your head to the back, raising your chin up to the ceiling. Bring it back up to the center. Drop your chin down to your collarbone. And back to the center. Now, this is a standing Qigong, for those of you who are interested in practicing Qigong with us. Stand with your feet shoulder width apart, hands just below the navel, at your energy center, palms up, longest fingertips touching as if you're holding something, which you're holding your energy. Inhale, filling the arms with energy. Exhale, bend down, stoop down, spread your arms out wide to the earth. Inhale, scoop up good energy from the earth as if you're scooping up leaves from the ground. Bring your arms back to your lower abdomen. Exhale, take your arms to the side, palms down, arms straight, perfect balance. Reverse the palms. Inhale, raise your arms up over your head and form a triangle with your hands. Exhale, bringing your hands down to your center, your lower abdomen. Pause. Inhale and exhale. Once more. Bring your hands to your lower abdomen, longest fingertips touching. Inhale. Stoop down, spread your arms out, scooping up leaves, scooping up energy from the earth. Rise back up, bringing your arms back up to your lower abdomen. Exhale, take your arms out to the side, palms down, arms straight, perfect balance, reverse the palms up, inhale. Raise your arms up over your head and form a triangle. With your hands, exhale, bring your triangle down to your lower abdomen, and pause. Normal breathing.
take both of your arms out to the side and up, and form your hands as a prayer symbol, the Anjali Mudra symbol. Bring it down to your chest. Take a simple bow. Smile and say namaste. And rest. And thank you for joining us in our pranayama and kiyang. We will see you next week. Speak your truth. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much, Kedalai. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you, listeners. And we will be back next week with more blackness, more black thought, more love and healing our hearts and our minds and our bodies. Have a prosperous week. Namaste.
Namaste.